California will soon allow driverless cars to operate without a driver. The state's Department of Motor Vehicles announced yesterday that it will eliminate a requirement for autonomous cars to have a person behind the wheel in the event of an emergency. The new rules go into effect on April 2nd. For more on this and other tech news, let's get to our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Ed Lee is managing editor at Recode and joins us now. Hi, Ed.
Hey.
So 50 companies in the state of California are licensed to test self-driving cars. They'll be affected. Tell us more about this rule change.
So it's a pretty big change in terms of allowing these companies, companies like Google, for example, they have a division called Waymo for self-driving cars, as well as, you know, established companies like GM to start doing fully autonomous or fully driverless cars. At the same time, what this requirement does allow for, though, is that they have to have sort of a remote operator. So someone in sort of like a signal tower who can sort of monitor and manage these cars should they get into an accident or some kind of other problem.
And what's happened to make regulators more confident in driverless car safety?
Well, companies like GM and Google have been testing in limited sort of areas and limited roads for some time already. So it's not as if they haven't sort of developed some expertise here. But the main thing is that these companies have been lobbying this for some years now. And in order to sort of really develop autonomous cars in a real way, they need real world experience. And I think it frankly just comes down to the companies pestering the regulators for it. It's also the future, right? I think if you're in government, you should see that this is the future. It's better to sort this out now than later. And at some point, you just have to test it for real.
Are other states likely to follow suit?
Yeah. Other states have already started looking more closely at this and have also offered limited testing. Nevada, for example, as well as Michigan. So I think the more roads, the more different conditions that these companies sort of see in their testing, the better these autonomous cars will get. So it sort of behooves, you know, governments to kind of open up the testing to a wider array of companies and also in a wider field of areas to go into as well.
I want to get to another story in the tech sector. A federal appeals court ruled yesterday to allow the Federal Trade Commission to move forward in a lawsuit against AT&T. This is about people who have unlimited data plans and were allegedly getting their speed throttled.
So this is very complicated. It really comes down to jurisdictional sort of issues, right? What is the FTC allowed to do, especially after the FCC sort of relinquished net neutrality, right? And I think in this particular case, the FTC sort of went after AT&T's marketing practices, which the FTC already has purview to do. AT&T was looking for a loophole where they basically said, well, we're a common carrier, what's known as a common carrier, so you don't have any jurisdiction here. The courts basically ruled in favor of the FTC and said, no, they do have jurisdiction here. They can sort of have the room to look at this. Here's the thing, though. Let's not confuse this with net neutrality. This doesn't mean that FTC will have purview over net neutrality. That's a slightly different set of rules that ultimately, you know, it will have to be done by Congress, right? And Republicans control Congress, and they really haven't advocated for net neutrality, at least in the way it's been traditionally defined. So it's a long walk to get there, but a slight win for the FTC, but net neutrality is still up in the air.
It also really makes you think about the value of these unlimited data plans, whether you're really getting unlimited data if you've got one of those.
Right, exactly. And that was what was at issue here is that, you know, AT&T was selling unlimited data plans, but they were not informing the public, to the customers, that, well, we might throttle your traffic or slow down some traffic if you have that plan.
So there's also news about Apple. Over the weekend, Reuters reported that the company will hold iCloud encryption key data in China. First of all, explain what that means and tell us about the concerns there.
Yet more complications. So to be clear, this affects specifically and only Chinese users. So if you are a customer in China, own an iPhone, and you participate in Apple's iCloud program, where you can sort of store digitally your photos and messages, almost anything, into the cloud, into the Apple cloud service, the keys that sort of unlock that data for your account will be kept in China, as well as all the data itself. And, you know, the concerns are that, well, this could give the Chinese government access to your data if and when they so choose. No one's necessarily denying that. And this is based on a new law that China instituted that Apple is complying with. Apple, you know, sort of lobbied against that law, saying this could weaken customer privacy. But the rules are different in China. I think there's a different regime. There's a different idea. There's a different sort of threshold for what the government is allowed to do versus in the United States. And I think that's the heart of the issue. And if you want to operate in China, you have to abide by China's laws. And Apple, a fifth of Apple's sales come from China. Right. So, of course, they're going to do that.
And what about Samsung? Finally, Samsung revealed its new flagship phone, the Galaxy S9. We, of course, remember the S7 or the Galaxy Note 7 was having some trouble bursting into flames. What do we know about the new one?
Well, so no bursting into flames this time, at least not yet. You know, the reception has been lukewarm from reviewers. They say, of course, it's a nicer, better phone, but it's not that much different. I mean, the hardware is slightly nicer, slightly sleeker, all that kind of stuff. But in terms of the software, ultimately, that's what we're seeing is that, you know, going forward, all the hardware is all really nice and sort of on par to some degree. The things that now set phones apart are going to be price in terms of how cheap that might be, and then the types of content, the types of software and apps that are available right on those phones. And I think that'll be the bigger differentiator going forward.
That's Ed Lee, managing editor at Recode. Ed, thank you.
Anytime.